That it's all static? It's just a little bit of static.
Yeah.
Huh. Hey, Amber. Have these been sanitized?
And this is At Issue on WGXE. I'm Victor Mandolia, and Seth Brogoboy is not here today, but I'm with, we're going to be speaking with Mark Allen, who is, will be... Mark Allen is doing the volume reading series on Saturday at the Spotty Dog, and he's going to be with us in a little bit. But we are here with Mayor Tiffany Martin Hamilton and Lisa Walsh, who is her aide. Is that what we say? Is that how you say it?
Yes.
You have a mic right there, by the way.
Great.
So how's it going?
It's going. It's June.
It's a little strange. We're here in the Paul and Clara Kellner Cafe at Columbia Memorial Hospital live here. You're welcome to come down and check us out and see us here live if you want to, and have a bite to eat here at the cafe, which is really one of the best deals in town for lunch. So you've been in office for what?
A year and a half.
Yeah, a year and a half. And you've announced that you're not running for re-election this year.
I have.
And so maybe could you tell us a little bit about why you chose not to run? Is that?
Sure. There are just other parts of my life that have really not been getting the attention they need. Mm-hmm.
I know you have two young daughters.
I do have two young daughters, and I don't feel like I've seen very much of them in the last year and a half.
Right.
It's becoming very obvious. You know, and it just gives me some time to focus on my life a little bit.
Right, right.
I don't think it's the worst thing.
It's rough. I mean, people don't realize how much work it takes and how much time it takes. You know, you're called at every hour of the day.
Right.
And
it doesn't matter if it's 6 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning or a Sunday.
Right.
You're always on.
Yeah, yeah. Lisa, how have you found it?
I think it's been one of the most interesting things I've ever done.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's I like kind of learning about how things work behind the scenes. I think a lot of people don't know how things work behind the scenes. I used to take a lot of things for granted that I no longer do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really fun meeting all sorts of people, because so many different people come into City Hall. And I think for me, that's probably been the best part. You know, the mm-hmm. weddings, and I've gotten to know everybody likes the wedding, and I've gotten to know like some of the coin drop people, and so from the different organizations, it's been really nice.
Mm-hmm. And let's not leave out, Lisa's also had the opportunity to learn all about parking.
Parking in Hudson.
You're the parking queen.
Not really. No, I don't. Yeah, I'd like to abdicate that throne. Yeah, that's a very big project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just as an observer, I've seen a lot happen in the time that you've been mayor, and I think that you've made a big difference in how things get done here, in the way that things are done. What do you think are your biggest accomplishments so far?
Well, I think, without sounding too political, in a lot of ways, me being elected to office and bringing fresh eyes, you know, and a fresh perspective to City Hall, I was sort of the disruptor, if you will. So if nothing else, my entire term, for that, I'm very, you know, I'm grateful for
right.
that. I think Hudson needed, you know, we needed to stop the way things were continually rolling and move in a new direction. And I do feel like that has happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the biggest accomplishments, certainly getting things like the LWRP revision moving, I think is a huge accomplishment. It's something that sat for several years just on a shelf. And getting that completed will be a really big accomplishment for
mm-hmm.
Hudson. You know, a lot of the accomplishments have been done in, by coordinating, collaborating with other groups of people.
Right.
So tapping into the expertise of other groups of people to move initiatives along. But I think that would be one prime example.
Mm-hmm.
It's just bringing people together, giving them the chance to participate, to have a voice, and that is, it's probably the best example.
Right.
I think your board appointments, too, have
yeah.
been really strong, and I think it's helped with a lot of processes overall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's, without strong boards, it's difficult to get
right.
things done.
Yeah.
So.
It is very difficult to get things done without strong boards.
And you've
boards.
Done that very thoughtfully.
So you have 6 months left. What are you planning? What's the next 6 months going to look like for
the
you?
The big push in the next 30 days, and this has been going on for a while, but the website is now finally being migrated, which sounds small, but it is not small
mm-hmm.
at all. So that is a big piece of this puzzle. And kind of getting things positioned so that when things transition from me to whomever it might be, I have my opinions on who it might be, but we'll see.
We'll talk about that next.
That you know, that it's all that everything is in order and very easily transitioned. I want to feel like I'm leaving the city in a better state, you know, in a state where things are more. More professional and more approachable, and I'm hoping that whoever comes in next will continue that and will continue the feeling of accessibility
mm-hmm.
And friendliness.
So if you're just joining us, we're with Tiffany Martin Hamilton, who is the mayor of the city of Hudson, and Lisa Walsh, who is her aide here in the city. I'll remind you that we're in the middle of our pledge drive. We've just started our pledge drive, and we're asking people to give us a call here at, we're at the cafe at the hospital, but we're asking you to call the station at 518-697-7400 and make a donation there, or you can always donate online at wgxc.org/donate and make a contribution and keep us on the air. You know, one of the things that we should remind you is that we run on a very, very tight budget, and we depend on your contributions. You wanted to say something?
Yeah, I actually had a few more thoughts and things that I wanted to add to the list as we're closing out the year. One of the bigger things that's been ongoing is the Hudson Police Department contract, and I feel like now after some very productive meetings this year that we're close to resolving that. So that's pretty exciting, and that will, that'll get things set up for the next few years. That's been a really long time in the coming.
One of the things that I think people who have, the mayors have complained long ago, for a long time has been that, you know, the work rules and that kind of thing. Is that the kind of stuff that you're addressing in it, or...?
Well, I can't really discuss what,
right.
You know, the items that we're negotiating in the contract.
Right.
But hopefully that will be apparent to everyone very soon. and that means it's really, you know, that whole, this whole process has been very interesting, and it makes you learn a lot more about how that department is run.
Mm-hmm.
It's really illuminating. So that will definitely be something that's closed out before the end of the year.
Right. And, of course, the police department and the court is in a new location. And how do you think that that's going?
I think it's going pretty well. I will share that we did a walkthrough of the old station, that space, last week. And it is such an improvement. The new space is just, you know, it there's no comparison between the two. So I'm very, very glad that we've moved up there.
What will happen with the old space?
What we're talking about right now, since code enforcement was sort of left out of the plans, we're talking about moving code enforcement temporarily to the old police department, putting the code enforcement building up for sale, and then figuring out where we go from there. Because that was, right now there are several people and a very small space. There's no filing. The building, you know, it needs a lot of upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
So at least if they move into the building next door, they can be potentially in the court space.
Right.
And be a lot more comfortable.
I see. Yeah, it's very tight in there.
Yeah. And then there are some other things that we're working on, some policies. I know that, you know, I've been talking with Heather for a long time about doing a compensation policy. Right now we don't have a consistent policy across the city.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that, for instance, seasonal workers at DPW are compensated or seasonal workers at the youth department are compensated isn't necessarily aligned with how someone would be compensated in the parking department. So we just have to put something in place to make sure that everyone's on the same page there, which I think will make a really big difference and will help morale.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also some capital planning that we'd like to do before the end of the year.
Right.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you have ideas about who you'd like to see succeed you, and are you willing to talk about that?
Well, it would be no surprise to anyone that I fully support Rick Rector in his run for mayor. He's so thoughtful, and I've seen him in action, chairing meetings. He's really skilled at what he does. He's a great listener. He's a great negotiator. He's able to reach across the aisle, and I think that's appealing to a very broad swath of the Hudson constituency. So I'm hopeful,
right.
And we've spent a lot of time together, just, you know, bringing him up to speed on where things are, in anticipation of that potentially happening.
Right. What would be next for? Each of you, do you have? Do you have plans, or are you still figuring all that out?
I'm still figuring it out.
I still do that at night. And so being able to do that more consistently.
Where do you see some of the obstacles that still exist, that the things that maybe, you know, you haven't been able to address and that you think that people should understand they still need addressing? Like, where are those problems?
Well, there are a lot of... there are a lot of pitfalls, and a big part of that is that we continue to do things the way they were always done because that's the way they're budgeted, and we don't have the ability to move past that. But there are a lot of inefficiencies in the way we do that because we don't embrace technology. We also don't have centralized functions for core functions like IT or HR or just an operations function. None of those things exist. So,
right.
You know, when someone gets hired, and it depends on which department they go into, what paperwork they fill out, who does it, to whom they direct their questions, and it's very muddled.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to, having at least one planner would be huge.
Mm-hmm.
Code changes. I think we've got businesses done differently now, and so our code needs to sort of reflect that.
Mm-hmm.
we have some pretty archaic.
In what regard? In what regard, though? Like, what would be like an example of what needs changing?
I think just, like we were talking about, you know, how do we not? I don't want to say police, but the waterfront. You know, we have no body that can right now that can tell people what they can and can't do on the waterfront. Mm-hmm. So that's something that needs to be established. Mm-hmm. You know, we look at just the way public spaces are used. You know, do we need to charge fees? You know, there's a whole, Hudson's grown so much. We've had so many people coming in who want to do film. They want to do film shoots. And that's been really interesting. But we're finding that there's a lot of administrative time that goes on at City Hall to make that happen. Mm-hmm. And so looking at recouping some of that. Those costs, right. And that's something I think that never went on here before. So mm-hmm. it's all new,
right?
And it's
probably going to continue.
Absolutely. It's getting Hudson's getting more and more popular. And
now there's a county film department, but do they offer you any help?
I did not even know there was a county film department.
Well, there is.
Wow.
and that's what we learn, kind of, as each thing comes in. You take one step in a direction, right. And you find out. This isn't legal.
Right.
We have no process in place to handle this. And so you fly by the seat of your pants so much of the time trying to figure out how it's supposed to be done. And we also look back and discover that the way things have always happened aren't necessarily consistent with state law. So it's it can be challenging. And I think that anybody that comes into office after me will experience that. This will have to get worked out through changes to the charter and code going forward. Our zoning is highly problematic.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There are so many issues that you can't even to list them.
On zoning, where do you think that the number one and two and three like issues are? What would you change in the zoning? Having looked at it and understanding it better than most people.
I would add commercial zoning on the north side because that is definitely lacking.
Right.
The way we've been doing it or the way the council and the boards have been doing it in the last year and a half, when something major happens, we are looking to do a zoning change because you can't, because the bar is so high for getting a variance. Instead, you're looking at a legislative change, and that that makes it very tough. I think we need greater density because obviously we have a tremendous need for housing, mm-hmm. and not enough of it at this point. So we should be looking at things like doing micro housing, you know, including housing in the alleyways, housing over garages, mm-hmm. to offer people more options.
Right.
I hear the collective gasps across the city.
Oh yeah. Wait a minute.
No, I think it would be wonderful, but
I mean,
change is
the
hard.
Alleys could be more commercialized as well, depending mm-hmm. on which where they are and how they're situated and what the infrastructure is there. Certainly in the back. In the alleys on Warren Street, there are real commercial opportunities mm-hmm. there as well, which could be not just exploited, but helped.
And they're really interesting. Walking the alleys of Hudson, you get more of a sense of what Hudson was.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You see the sides of the buildings that aren't as necessarily as well cared for, and you see their age, but I love it. I'm constantly walking and driving in the alleys.
Yep.
Not that I'm telling people to drive in the alleys, because that's another,
no, please don't
another
drive
hot
in the
button
alleys.
Issue. But if you do very
walk
slowly.
In the alleys, please don't drive in the alleys.
Any other thoughts just that you want to let our listeners know about before we wrap it up?
Well, I would say that I'm really excited to see how things work next year with fair and equal passing, having mm-hmm. having equal votes at the council level. Well, it's a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you will know to have a resolution passed, you will no longer find yourself trying to align with people on the council that have heavier weighted votes.
The citizens can understand whether something passed by the hands that are up in the air.
Exactly. No calculator needed. I'm sure Tracy will be really happy about
streamlined
that.
Process.
It is just, it's going to be a completely different way of doing things next year. And in some ways, I'm sad that I won't be around for that because I've experienced the challenges of working with a council that votes based on a weighted vote. It can be, you know, it can be really frustrating. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you said there are new watches. Resolutions are voted on with your fingers crossed, and at the end you still don't know
right.
until Tracy
it's
says.
Still won or lost on seven votes or something.
So I'll be watching from the sidelines, not quietly.
Mm-hmm. not quietly.
Because I... and I'm excited.
You, Lisa, you got something to say?
I was actually thanking Ricky for the water that she just delivered.
Rochelle Martin, who is Tiffany Hamilton Martin's sister, also manages the cafe, I think, manages, right? Correct?
She does.
And she's been so helpful and has been bringing us water and snacks and other things. It's been really sweet. But any last thoughts from you? I mean, I'm not cutting us off or anything, but I know that you have to be somewhere else as well.
No, I mean, there's a lot of things I'm going to miss. I'm going to miss some of the people in City Hall. We've got some really good employees there who I don't think get nearly enough credit for what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have to deal with the public every day, and I think they do a really good job. And I'm just going to miss being in the thick of things, you know, and watching things develop. And
it's learning. Not too late to run for office.
I definitely one thing I've learned from this experience is I never want to run for office. But it's been I've really enjoyed though getting to know how city government works, mm-hmm. and I'm hoping I can use that knowledge somewhere.
Well, I would just say on a personal level, I think you know your election, Tiffany, has been a game changer. I think you have brought professionalism to the city, and I think on many levels you showed how to help organize people, you know, with the founding of Hudson Forward. Certainly was a big piece of moving the city forward, and was the impetus for the Fair and Equal passing and everything. So congratulations to you, and thank you for all of the work that you've done. I know it's not easy, but... You know, I really appreciate it on a personal level, and I know that many people in the city do as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Any last words?
The door's still open. one of the things I was thinking about is that Tiffany's always had an open door policy, and we've had people come in and say, wow, we've never been able to have a meeting in here before.
Mm-hmm.
So that door is still open for the next 6 months, and
I'm sure
it will be in the next administration as well. But
right.
I think that's a nice change for people, that they can just come up, knock on the door, and share their concerns.
Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of the year left.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although it is disappearing quickly.
So don't forget, 520 Warren Street. Come see
Second
us.
Floor.
Well, congratulations. Thank you so much for your work. And we're going to take a quick break, and then when we return, we'll be making another pitch for you to call in. And we'll be with Mark Allen, who's doing the volume reading series this Saturday at the Spotty Dog.
Woo-hoo!
We'll be right back on WGXE 90.7 FM Acra.
I do.
Waiting for your mind. Waiting.
And we're back. This is At Issue on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre. I'm Victor Mandolia. This is At Issue here, and we are at the... Uh-oh, my sheet went away. what's the other side of that sec? There we are. We're at the Paul and Clara Kellner Cafe at the Columbia Memorial Health. That is the hospital here in Hudson. Hospital and more, of course. We thank Rochelle Martin, who's manages the restaurant here and has been a great host to us. I'm with Mark Allen. Mark is doing the volume reading series at the Spotty Dog on Saturday. But I want to remind everybody before we get into that, that we're in the middle of our pledge drive, and we're asking you to give us a call here at the station. The pledge drive is an important part of keeping WGXC going. We do get some grants, and we raise money during the year, but the pledge drive is the way for you to show that you support what goes on here, that you appreciate the different sounds and voices that you hear on your radio coming from WGXC. We are a unique station in that even some of our public radio stations here, you would not hear the kind of local programming that you hear here at WGXC. We have town hall meetings. We have voices of minority communities that have no voice in the general media, and they only really are able to speak to you and to speak to the community through our radio station. And I think it's important to remember that. So please make a contribution of any amount that you can. $5 is not too little. Any amount is not too little. We, you know, the smaller contributions all add up and equal a lot of money. So you can also do recurring contributions, so that if you wanted to make a small contribution each month, that helps us be able to plan ahead and know what we can expect to come in each month. So recurring contributions are a great way of supporting the station without hitting your pocketbook very hard. So hope that you'll give us a call here at the station, 518-697-7400. You can donate online at wgxc.org/donate, or you can send a check. You can send a check to WGXC, care of Wave Farm, and that's 5662 Route 23, Acre, New York, 12405. So do that now. We need to raise $20,000, and the daily goal is $1,500, and we haven't met that goal yet, so give us a call now. So, Mark, we're with... I'm with Mark
Hi,
Allen.
Hi, Victor.
Hey, how are you doing?
It's great to see you again.
Likewise, likewise.
Yes, Victor and I go way back.
Way, 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 way back.
Very way back. In New York, and we were both ACT UP members.
Yep.
I think, you know, it's funny. Of all the times I've spent with you in New York clubs and all the ACT UP demos, whenever people mention your name, I have one memory of you from 1992. It involves a bathroom, but it's G-rated. Okay. Do you remember the club, The Bank, on Avenue A First?
I do.
It was a Halloween show. Diamanda Galas was performing, and Lady Bunny was the MC.
That's a strange
And
combination
you were,
right there.
You had somehow organized
I was
this.
Managing.
Yeah,
the bank,
yeah.
And co-managing, yeah.
And it was in the bathroom. And we were both at the urinals, and I already knew you from ACT UP and stuff, and I was like, hey, Victor, how's it going? We're like peeing, talking about, oh, did you see Diamanda? Yeah, Lady Bunny. And whenever I picture this moment in all the times we spent together, whenever people mention your name, I don't know why that is.
I don't even know what to say about that.
Because then later, you know, years passed and years later, we lost touch, and then I moved to the area, and I saw you again somewhere. I don't know where it was.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was that field of organic wheat or something up here in upstate. And it was a reunion. Uh-huh. And so, anyway, we both kind of grown, I suppose. So it's nice to see you again.
I think I've regressed. I don't think I've grown.
Well, that's what happens when you come upstate. New York City refugees that, yeah, we're approaching it. It's like 2001 A Space Odyssey. We're going to turn into that floating fetus and the old man at the same time.
So this is your second time at the Volume Reading Series.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about, first of all, what are you reading, and what is it that, why did they ask you? What do you do that makes them invite you back to the Volume?
Well, let me talk about Volume a little first. Okay. I thought it's a great reading series that happens, I think, Saturday of every month, or the second Saturday of every month. At any rate, once a month at Spotty Dog. It's called Volume. It's run by two great people, Hallie Goodman and Danny French, and they invite writers to do readings, storytelling. It's a real mishmash of literary types and up-and-coming literary types, and it's always a fascinating mix. And as you know, Spotty Dog is this fabulous place on Warren Street, a combination bar, bookstore, art store, mm-hmm. very, very much a scene. It's, right. it's a great venue. And actually, I think the very first volume, I performed at the very first volume. And Hallie had asked me because we had, Hallie and I had also done another spoken word thing at an empty storefront, I think a year earlier. I think it was called Tongue in Cheek, and me and Hallie performed, and Melissa Fabos performed, and Sam Stern. And so they invited me to do it because I've published, you know, in the New York Times and NPR and FMU and things like that. And so I did it. My first piece I did at Volume, I did a... Oh, you were there. You were actually there. Yeah, I did a presentation on gay slobs. I had a chalkboard and everything, and I explained to the audience what was a gay slob. But I think...
basically because... You were a gay slob, right?
Of course, yes. I'm in the minority of a minority of a minority of a minority. Yes. Are you a gay slob, Victor?
I have been, but I'm a reformed slob.
Where you live.
Now it looks really good.
Oh, both halves, because you first showed me the first half downstairs. Right. I was like, my God, it's flawless. And then we went upstairs.
Yeah. Well, now it's pretty much together. It's pretty much together.
You really,
it's 11 years coming, though.
And you said that you're regressing. No, you're right. Moving, you're growing up.
Baby steps, though. Baby
okay.
steps.
All right, yes. No longer a gay slob or glob, as they're sometimes called. But, what were we talking about? So anyway, so this Saturday, I think I'm going to be doing a storytelling type style. I'm not going to be reading. But I have a collection of 10 stories that I've written, some that have been published in NPR's All Things Considered. I did a piece of this, and the New York Times, I did a piece of this. They're stories of when I grew up in Texas before I moved to New York, which is when I had a big life change. You know, in 1990, I moved to New York and became a whole different person, and, like many people do. So, right. And it's funny, I realized I was collecting all of these memories of growing up in Texas, and they actually made really interesting stories. But I've never actually sat down and written any of the stories that I've accumulated experience-wise in New York City, in the 16 years I lived there. So I don't know what that means, but I'm going to be
still running from that.
Yeah, I think I am. I'm like running away in a different direction now. Yes. But I think I'm going to be reading one of those, a story about growing up in Texas. And I hope it goes well.
Mm-hmm. You hosted a longtime show on WFMU, or you were just...
I had a show on FMU for about 3 years in the mid-aughts, on Saturday nights. That was exciting. That was part of my New York City experience. I tried to keep doing it when I moved up here with my partner. We moved to Catskill, but I just couldn't commute every week, mm-hmm. so I kind of...
Well, there's a local station you could always apply for a job. I don't know.
I've heard. No, I'm a huge fan of... WGXC, and I hope people are pledging.
I forgot to mention, but there is also a $1,000 matching grant. So one of the reasons that we are particularly hoping that you will call in today and now is that we have a $1,000 matching grant from Stair Galleries in Hudson. If we match the $1,000, so it's important that you give us a call here at the station, 518-697-7400. Or donate online. It's even faster at wgxc.org/donate. You don't even have to talk to anybody. You can just do it right from your house.
You got a $1,000 grant from Stair Gallery?
Yeah.
That's fabulous. That has the Rolling Stone guy auction coming up soon. Who's not Mick Jagger, but the other one. The one that looks like he's half dead. Oops, I probably shouldn't say that.
They all look half dead.
Yeah,
really.
Him and his wife. There's an auction sale. I mean, he's known for this. It's not. Right. That's not an insult. But They have an auction sale at Stair coming up that everybody's talking about. Why can't I think of this guy's name? All right, I'm from the punk generation. I think I blocked all those people out.
If it was Patti Smith, we would know what we were talking
yes.
about.
Yes. But everyone, please pledge. This is a great radio station. Actually, one thing I failed to mention, we're in the hospital of WGXC is broadcasting from the hospital, but we're not in the cafe. Victor and I are actually in the gender reassignment surgery clinic.
That's and why it's so noisy.
Yes, it makes a lot of sound. So for every pledge, what will we do?
Oh, I don't know.
There's so many options in the gender reassignment.
Describe it.
Maybe, yeah.
We'll describe it live.
How many genders are there now? Maybe we could work the way up for each pledge.
There's a lot. I mean, Facebook has like 70 genders. I don't understand that.
Yes, yes.
Or sexual orientations or something.
Right. Well, we've got that one figured out, I think, between the two of us.
I don't know, but we could always change.
Yeah, we could. We're here in the clinic, and please, what else can we talk about? Do you go to Spotty Dog a lot?
I regularly, but not all the time.
Uh-huh. It's a great place.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I used to live in Catskill, and I just recently moved to Hudson, and I had no excuse. I live right down the block from Spotty Dog. But Saturday night's a good night in Hudson. There's so much happening. Yeah. You know, I live across from Moto and Back Bar, and that place is really doing well. Oh, and this Saturday night, too, is the Freak Flag thing at the Basilica.
Yep, it's Flag Day. It's Flag Day weekend here, and it's Freak Flag Day.
I have to plug my ex and very good friend, Jim Crewson, is having the opening that very same night of his residency at the Basilica.
Oh,
of all of his art. So after the reading, I'm going to eventually wander over there.
Well, I'll join you.
Oh, great. That'd be great. They're going to have fireworks. Nice. We'll be our new genders.
Going to not be happy with our making light of all this.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Always going to be somebody offended.
I'm sorry if I've offended anyone. But I have done comedy in the past, so...
call that comedy?
Yeah. I didn't. Let's change subjects.
So on
instead of genders.
In Catskill,
yes.
I noticed I've been to a new place over there called High Low, which was have you been there?
I heard about this place. No.
It's nice. I liked it.
Yeah, Catskill's an interesting place. Well, it's funny because we lived in Catskill for so many years but we lived in Hudson. Everything we did was in Hudson.
Right.
And now that I've moved here, one thing I realized I liked about Catskill is you can kind of hide amongst the population. There's not as many scenesters in Catskill, although that's changing. And I could go to Walmart and stuff, and I could stay. No one knew what I did. But when I moved to, I live right now on Warren Street.
It's hard to hide on Warren.
Can't do a thing. Like, if I wanted to commit a murder and hide a body, it would be like, well, everyone would see what I've done. Like, I feel like everything I do is, like, going on record. Everyone I run into, they're like, oh, yeah, I saw you walking down the street at 8:15 a.m. So that's a real difference between Catskill and Hudson, I think, in that respect.
But like you said, it's changing. It's there's more and more happening there, and... It's an interesting time for Catskill, I think. It definitely feels like it's on the precipice of something.
Right. And that's always good. And, I mean, we lived there for a long time, and we saw a lot of changes on Main Street in Catskill just in the 10 years that we were there, like art galleries and bars and a scene. You know, you can really tell when something's happening when you see a lot of people taking old buildings and turning them into weird art spaces. Mm-hmm. That's always a good sign. And you see that a lot in Hudson.
Except it could be a bad sign
True. And you see that a lot in Hudson, like what Tiffany was talking about in the alleys.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting hearing them talk about code enforcement. In the alleys, I see behind me there's some fascinating buildings that I see kids, and they're turning that into something slowly over time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always, like, trying to look. And then, like, right next to them is this major Etsy building that's made out of an old bowl. What is it, but a bowling ball factory?
Cannonball factory,
yes.
Even older.
So that's something that mirrors, I think, Catskill and Hudson. I remember when Hillary Clinton was here.
Did you get a chance to see her?
No, but I remember I texted you first because you're quite political, and I immediately when Hillary Clinton was here, I was like, "Oh, Victor will know what's going on." Remember, I texted you. I was like, "Oh, yeah. What's Hillary doing?" I didn't even say Hillary's here. I said, "What's Hillary doing?" And you were like, "I have no idea what the hell he's doing." But she mentioned that when she was interviewed, I think, by the Register Star on video. She's like, oh, I love that I, since I've been here last, when she was, you know, I guess in New York politics, she was like, oh, I see so many people inhabiting these old buildings and renovating them and turning them into spaces. That's something, that's what I always associate with a town up and coming more so than, like, businesses opening on Main Street.
Uh-huh. So I guess we're going to take a little break.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll come back just so we can figure out what else we're going to talk about.
Okay. ramble on.
So this is At Issue on WGXC. We'll be right back.
Why don't we try to plug this a little more? Maybe what's like the difference between like reading and storytelling? And then we can move on to New York.
All right. So the key thing is, you know, because we're non-commercial media, the key thing is like you can't have any action words. So you can't say you should go, or that this is sort of that it's only $10 or something like that. So that's important. So it's like we can just say that.
So this is Victor Mandolia, and we're on At Issue, the Fun Drive edition. We're listening to The Art of Noise. This is Moments in Love, and Alana Medlek, who is the program director. Program director? Community program coordinator, and is running the board here, just tells us that either at her junior or senior prom, this was the theme for your prom. There was a wine glass etched with Moments in Love on the stage, and it was a whole Moments in Love theme. So and it was all by coincidence. So just letting you know what's going on here at the Paul and Clara Kellner Cafe at the Columbia Memorial Health Building in Hudson, where we're broadcasting live. It is the pledge drive, so please give us a call at 518-697-7400, or you can donate online at wgxc.org/donate. And we have a $1,000 matching grant from the Stair Gallery, Stair Galleries in Hudson. And so that's your donation is in effect doubled by giving us a call today. So please do that. At 518-697-7400, and we're in the studio. We are not in the studio, but there are people in the studio waiting for your call right now. So do that. So Mark, explain a little bit, and just for you, if you're just joining us, we're with Mark Allen, who is going to be reading at, not really reading, you're going to be speaking.
Telling a story.
His mic's not on. You could plug in the third one there and use that one in the meantime. Now we're on. Okay, you got it.
You know, I love that Art of Noise story about your prom. That was like
not
a wonderful
prom,
story.
Madonna's prom.
Oh, you know, that's also the song that Madonna walked down the aisle to with Sean Penn.
Is that right?
During that famous wedding.
I didn't know that.
Yes. I love that era of the Art of Noise.
Oh,
that
me too.
Early, yeah,
absolutely.
Those early albums.
That's
I'm going to be telling a story at Volume at Spotty Dog on
so
Saturday.
So tell us the difference between storytelling and doing a reading and doing stand-up. Because you write comedically as well, so it's not,
right.
But it's not quite stand-up. So tell us what...
I'm a writer, a comedic writer, I suppose. A lot of it's dark humor. And I suppose the difference is a reading, a traditional reading that you would go to, authors read from their published works or works that they're working on. A little more traditional. Stand-up is, of course, what you see evening at the Improv, you know, in front of a brick wall. You know, you associate with, like, that's very much a style. I think about 10 years ago or 15 years ago, this trend of storytelling started, and we started seeing more of that, which I think is kind of a mix of the two. It's certainly not always comedy, but it's a writing style of story unfolding done live, more similar to the way a stand-up comedian would do. Mm-hmm. that's something that I did for a while in New York, actually after I'd moved up here. So that's more my style. But, you know, Volume at Spotty Dog has a complete mix of all of these types of people. I mean, they don't really do stand-up, but right. When I go, it's this mishmash of, which I like. It's a real mishmash of all of these right. types of people. You know, I did a show in New York City a few years ago at Dixon Place called Pitch, and it was a storytelling night that was centered around editors of magazines, and we would have people stand on stage and pitch story ideas to write in these magazines to the editors live on stage. At least that was the initial idea, but we began to attract stand-up comedians and storytellers who would try to pitch their stories to get into these magazines. Like, we would have the editors of UFO magazine or Cat Fancy. We tried to go for the real low end stuff. We had Fangoria. Michael Musto did one. He was more legit, although he was hilarious. I'm trying to think of some of the other magazines. I can't remember. But so we attracted people that were performers, but they wanted their stories to get published in these weird, interesting, you know, established magazines.
Right.
And so that ended up as
Cat Fancy.
Like Cat Fancy, yes. And and so that was a complete mishmash of, you know, writers, legitimate writers or unpublished writers who were like, oh, I'd really love to write for Fangoria, you know, come in, or performers, stand-up comedians. And, you know, we had like a singer, Ari Gold, came, and his piece got published in Fangoria. I mean, how weird is that?
Right.
So I think it's a very successful thing to do, and I think Volume at Spotty Dog does that as well.
Uh-huh. How long have you been living upstate?
How long? How long does it seem? Or how long? No, I love. It's been a while. I moved up here in 2007, like I said.
Oh, right.
How
so
about you?
Yeah, 2006 for me.
Oh, so it was.
Yeah. It was right around the same time.
Yeah, a long way from that bathroom.
And didn't you sent me a note one time, and you said, were you shopping at the Price Chopper in Catskill?
I think I did.
And I was like, why didn't you say hello? He was like spying me in the
produce aisle. I was intimidated.
Produce aisle.
You're
intimidated. Oh, please.
I was starstruck next to the apple aisle.
Please. I wasn't the go-go boy of the planet.
Yes, that was. I was trying to escape that at the time.
Are you still trying to escape that?
No. It's what Victor was talking about. In New York City, I had a long patch where I was the, I guess, star go-go boy in the nightlife scene of the 90s.
You can Google him.
Yeah, it's the thing I'm going to be most remembered for, I'm afraid. I keep trying all these other things.
I don't know about that.
Well, there's some photos out there that are very popular. But at any rate, I do remember seeing you in Price Chopper that time. And it was, like I said, you know, it's funny. When I lived in New York City for 16 years, and you do so much. I mean, you can attest to this. It's like your New York years are like, oh, my, your 20s.
Right.
And I moved up here, and I was like, oh, I can relax. And I ran into all these old friends, you know, who were doing the same thing, escaping.
Right.
So now we're we're all kind of merging into the mountains, you know, hiding in the woods. But
crazy.
Yes,
it's pretty crazy how many people from there are here now. At
yes,
this point.
Well, there. I've noticed since I moved upstate from New York City, there are two types of people upstate. There are people that have come from New York City and have established themselves in some way in the city. Felt like they've had some establishment and they went through something or some success or what have you. Mm-hmm. And then there are the people that have never lived in New York City that live up here. I think that they're very distinct personality differences between those two.
Mm-hmm. Well, as they say, the born and raised here, or the cityites, as they call them.
Right. Well, I don't mean just like the local people that live, you know, in you know, the outlying areas or the rural areas around Hudson or Catskill. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, even people that consider themselves very urban that mm-hmm. Have grown up in Hudson proper or Catskill,
right,
or whatever.
I see.
You know, they went to, you know, college around here. What's the college that everybody goes to? The big
Bard.
Yeah, Bard. You know, there's a lot of Bard people here. I really can't remember names today. I am getting old. I did. Who was the Rolling Stone guy who I couldn't remember earlier? The most famous, next to Mick Jagger.
No,
that's the...
So that's Ronnie Wood, Charlie something.
Keith Richards.
That's the one, the auction?
Yeah, at Stair. Keith Richards and his wife Pamela.
Well, that's a big deal.
Yeah, their New York apartment stuff is against. Stair always has exciting things.
Uh-huh.
I love Stair. Remember when they had that auction and the guy was auctioning off the Gaiety Theater awning?
No, I don't remember that.
There was a collection of some, like, kind of gay historian person who collected antiques or whatever, and one of the things he took, the Gaiety Theater awning, and he owned it, and then I guess he died, or I'm not sure, but it was there, and it sold really fast. The original, like, Gaiety, I thought it was...
The Gaiety was a strip club in Times Square, yeah. A male strip club, just for people who aren't aware.
Jaded, like a... But Stair's always interesting for that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. What else can we talk about?
But who can we gossip about? I was really excited to meet our mayor. I'm wearing her headphones right now. I feel
closer.
Yeah, I do.
Well, I'll remind you that it's the pledge drive right now, and we are asking you to give us a ring and make us a contribution at 518-697-7400, or you can donate online at wgxc.org/donate, or you can mail a check to us at WGXE, care of Wave Farm. Wave Farm is our parent nonprofit. And the address there is 5662 Route 23 in Acre, New York, 12405. Acre is where our antenna is, and that's why we always say WGXE Acre, because that's where we broadcast from. And we have a $1,000 matching grant from Stair Gallery, so your contribution is, in effect, doubled by calling today. So give us a ring here at the station, WGXE, 518-697-7400, or donate online, wgxe.org.
I want to interview you for a few minutes.
Okay.
You know, like I mentioned several times, I'm sure, I know you from ACT UP in New York. We were both activists. But now you have a lot of, despite other things you do, you have a lot of activist things going on.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have coming up that's, you seem to organize a lot of demos.
Yeah. You know, I like doing the big ones. So, don't even say anything.
I wasn't.
from my history with ACT UP.
I just knew.
From my history with ACT UP, I kind of know how to organize a big demonstration. So, in general, I leave the smaller things. I certainly participate in them, but I don't really do the organizing for, like, Basso Fridays, which are demonstrations that happen every week from noon to one. At Faso's district offices. And there have been a number of other demonstrations that I participate in, but I don't really do. But the ones that I have organized lately, I was one of the three co-organizers of the Women's March here in Hudson. I recently organized the Climate March along with a number of other people, but was the lead on the Climate March here. So for me, you know, I'm always into the spectacle of things, and I like the big ones. Like, mm-hmm. So, that's kind of what I've been focused on. Every 2 or 3 months, like organizing a big demonstration around some issue, you know, that mostly aimed at either the president or a congressman.
Well, I remember one of the ones that impressed me the most because of its sheer size was right after Trump was elected. You know, they had all the local demos all over the country, remember, in different places.
Right.
And there was one in Hudson. Did you help organize that?
Yeah, that was the one.
Oh, that's fantastic. Because I was on Warren Street when it happened, and I was like, oh, here, watching. And then I was watching,
yeah,
and then I was watching.
Going and going.
It was immense.
Yeah.
People from all over had I couldn't believe how long that march was.
Yeah.
It literally wouldn't stop.
I co-organized that with two local women, Courtney Brown and Julie Torres. And they had announced that they were going to do it. And then I mentioned to them that... you know, hey, do you know that you need to do, you know, you need permits and that kind of thing. I'll stop for 1 second. This is WGXC 90.7 FM ACRA. That's our 3 p.m. station ID, WGXC 90.7 ACRA. And this is At Issue on WGXC. I'm with Mark Allen here at the Paul and Clara Kellner Cafe at Columbia Memorial Health. That is the hospital and medical center in Hudson. And we're in the middle of our pledge drive. We're going to go a little bit longer today, probably till about 3:15, and then I don't know exactly what's coming up after that, but something. Anyway, back to the Women's March. Yeah, so
that was that was the Women's March.
Right.
I guess I thought it was just like an anti-Trump thing.
Well, it was the day after the inauguration, so it kind of turned into that.
But then Women's March, that was the same day. Oh,
yeah.
God, I'm kidding. Everything makes sense. Okay, great.
Yeah.
I got it sorted out.
Yeah. and I don't really have anything planned right now. I was a little bit burned out after the climate march. I kind of needed a little bit of a break, so I've been resting. But I'll plan something soon.
Cool. Well, yes. We all look forward to that.
we're going to take another quick break and listen to a track by the B-52s, and then we'll be right back here at WGXE. Maybe we won't, because I think I lost that connection. But try again. Hold on. All right. Call in. We're looking for your contributions here on WGXE, 90.7 FM, ACRA. No, I lost it. I don't know. I think it's I lost the Wi-Fi, but for some reason. But what's that? Okay. I have to reconnect. Okay. Anyway.
Well, we are in the gift shop. Maybe they have.
I didn't know that. So the public Wi-Fi at the hospital knocks you off once an hour. That's something I didn't know before.
Oh, that's interesting. What if you're watching a movie?
Yeah, no, you can't really watch movies here.
Watch movies at the hospital.
I mean, you can, but it does. But there's a lot of people on the same network, so
I am being very selfish. And this is a place where life and death things happen. You probably need the electricity for something else.
How can you watch a movie?
Turn that defibrillator off. Interfering with my Netflix. We can't talk about the weather because it's perfect.
It is perfect.
We could have talked about the weather every other day this spring.
It was pretty miserable.
Why don't you ask me about my film, Sock Job?
Yeah, tell me about Sock Job.
Well, I've been making a film for the last 3 years. It's a horror comedy. I was filming it at the house I lived in Catskill, and now, of course, I'll be doing the final shots in the space I live in Hudson. I found it very interesting to hear the mayor talking about films being shot in Hudson, because I had to deal with some of that, how difficult it was to...
Right.
I'm very small time, but I had a difficult time getting permits and getting permission from, like, the fire department, what have you. So it's been an interesting experience. So I hope that they can.
So you actually shot things out live in the, on the street as
yep.
well?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, like I said, it was very like back of a truck kind of thing. It wasn't like a huge setup
right.
with a crane. Although I did have one crane shot, which I did illegally. But, you know, you have to think of these things because when you're filming in a small town, even if it's just like you have a camera and a bunch of lights and like three crew members, you have to worry about the cops showing up or the fire department. They'll show up and be like, what are you doing? And
right.
do you have a permit? So what I did when I did this at the time in Catskill, I just, before the shoot, I would call all of the fire marshals and everyone and say, I want to explain that I'm going to be doing this at this time, or even in my house when I had lightning effects outside my house and fake rain. You know, I didn't want to alarm people that like the house was on fire.
Right.
So I just let everyone I could possibly know. And it was just kind of funny talking to the police. They're like, okay, we'll make a note of this, but they noted it as if it were some kind of, like, this is not a crime happening. There wasn't, like, an official, like, there's a film being shot. You know, they didn't have a form for that. There was nothing in Catskill at the time that was like, you need to talk to these people, you know, what have you. So I thought that was interesting hearing Tiffany talking about they want to make that a little more official in Hudson. Because there are a lot of movies being shot.
Well, I mean, in the last couple of weeks has been, I've seen,
yeah.
I don't know if it's the same crew or whatever, but there have been people out filming, like, a lot.
Yeah.
In the last few days.
And they have their act together, too. I mean, these are professional,
right.
like, TV shows and stuff, so they have to deal with...
It seems like a relatively small crew. It's not like, a huge production, but...
I was thinking things I've seen in the past. But so, anyway, so I think I'm done. All done with my outdoor shooting. I can just do indoor shooting mm-hmm. from this point. But it's almost done, and half of it's already finished. It's 41 minutes long. You can come up to my apartment and see it. The first half, Victor, if you
I
like.
I want to see it.
But
yeah.
I was thinking of having a screening at the Basilica or something, and just so everyone can see how the first half, at least, is completed. yeah.
Might be good for fundraising, right?
No, I had a really hard time. Well, funds are always hard, but I didn't like the idea. I don't like the idea of asking for money. I'm a really good businessman, can you tell? But I found that to be really kind of almost painful.
Yeah, I hate it.
Feeling
I
hate like it. I had to, and then I owe them, and they wonder why it's taking so long. And,
right, right.
But, yeah, so maybe not. I think just for fun. I'm going to do it for fun. Uh-huh. I'm sure the first half of Sock Job.
So did you mostly fund it yourself?
Yeah. Well, I had a Kickstarter thing, but that was only $5,000. And, yeah, I funded it myself. And then I had a small grant from the New York Foundation for the Arts,
uh-huh.
which was surreal, but I got that. And then, yeah, I just pay for it. I work a little bit, and then I can afford to do another shoot, and I do it. My actor, Matthew Camp, has been very patient, you know, doing a film that's, it's feature length, but, you know, it's taking 4 years now, so he's been very patient about right. having to show up and work with robot
he's
socks.
He's gray now.
Yeah, you watch him age. Actually, you watch his weight fluctuate, because he's really into working out, so his weight fluctuates, like, literally from within a scene. It's quite funny. Yes.
I don't have any...
I think they're having technical difficulties. I'll keep talking. Would you like to know what they have here in the cafe at the hospital?
Yeah, what do they have?
They have, I see, some delicious hot food and some... They seem to have some fresh items as well. I see salads. I think there's things growing out of cans that you can buy in the line. And it's not like a mistake. They're actual things growing out of cans that look incredibly organic. And there's fruit.
I wonder if it's just like live herbs.
It might be.
Maybe that's it.
This is a really high-end hospital cafe.
I think we're going to wrap it up.
There's some cute guys over there. Did you see those?
I did.
There's a lot of cruising here at the hospital.
So I guess we're going to wrap it up. I really appreciate you coming in and chatting with us.
It's always a pleasure, Victor.
Tell us again what's going on this Saturday.
This Saturday, I'll be reading at Volume at the Spotty Dog on Warren Street, which is at 440 Warren. It's Saturday, June 10th at 7 p.m.
Who else is with you?
We have two other writers, Hallie Goodman. Oh, I'm sorry. No, she's one of the organizers. Excuse me. We have two other writers named Jesse Chaffee and Emma Smith-Stevens. And they're going to be reading from their newly published books.
So if you want to know more about the Volume Reading Series, you can
go to Facebook, Volume Hudson.
And there will be more information there. So we're gonna throw it over to Lynn Sloniker over at the studio. I really appreciate Tiffany Martin Hamilton and Lisa Walsh joining us here at the station and talking a little bit about what they've been going through and what they've been what they're planning for the rest of their term. And we, as I said, this has been At Issue on WGXE 90.7 FM Acra, and we're going to throw it back to the studio to Lynn Sloniker. Thanks. Bye-bye.